Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that line 4's on the right, baby. Not that Maggie's. Back in time. Look out, old Maggie's back. Chris McMichael. Sports Radio.
On the fan, McMonagle here with you on this Monday morning. Let's get the week started. I got you till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Fliegelman is actually back. He's here. He's sitting in the chair. I don't believe it. We'll get to hang out with him hopefully all week. And we'll take your calls as well, obviously. 888-808-1019 on this reaction Monday to Wild Card Weekend. And boy, was it wild. No, it wasn't. It was awful. Thank God for last night, although last night didn't make me happy as a Giant fan necessarily, thinking about having to play Jaden Daniels forever in that division. I was just talking with Fliegelman. As a Giant fan, who the hell are they going to beat in this division? Like, who are they going to beat? Not that Hurts played well in Philadelphia. You know, he's coming off the concussion. That passing game was non-existent. But, I mean, just watching Jaden Daniels, and we'll get to the Giants and the Jets and what I take away from this lousy weekend of football, and specifically the Jets, because that's where, I mean, like, if you started on Saturday, like, we saw 4 hideous games before we finally got to a quality football game. I mean, if you think about the different things, like, we saw terrible quarterback play, we saw terrible coaching. We saw teams that didn't show up. I mean, it started on Saturday. The Chargers were dominating the football game without having much of a lead, obviously, 6-0, but dominating the football game for the first 28 minutes. And then they could completely overrun. There's one bad snap that the young C.J. Stroud is able to recover, make a big play down the field, and that was it. That was the game. They scored 10 unanswered points at the end of the half, and then the Chargers didn't show up, and Herbert was awful. And we talked all week about how if he can, he's eliminated turnovers, and what Harbaugh has done to that team and that defense, and there was just a switch in that game. The Chargers didn't show up for the second half. Pittsburgh didn't show up for the start of the game. And all the talk around Tomlin, and we'll get to that nonsense. Yeah, let's fire the best coach, arguably the best coach in the NFL. We'll get to that in a second. And yeah, no, would you trade your 7th pick overall, Jet fans, to have Mike Tomlin as your head coach? No. There's too much, you know, unsatisfactory winning. Unsatisfactory is definitely not a word. It's not enough to win 10 games with Russell Wilson. It's not enough. But they were awful. They didn't show up for a coach I'm mocking about, you know, firing or whatever, but like Tomlin and Harbaugh on Saturday night, two of the best coaches in the NFL, two guys who no matter what happens, whether it's for Harbaugh, whatever situation he's in, going back to Stanford for crying out loud, wherever Harbaugh is, they win. Tomlin, I mean, the epitome of success and stability that everybody's longing for, and certainly the New York Giants and John Mara are. I mean, both of their teams had halves where they didn't show up. And that's where I want to start because, I mean, we can get into the later game and some of the situations, and obviously the one great game was last night. And I'll tell you this, watching Jaden Daniels, I understand the mistakes made by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if you watch the game, clearly a critical moment is the fumble after they force a turnover on downs and don't allow Washington into the end zone. They come back. It looks like they're going to take control of the game, and they have the fumble. That's a killer play, no doubt. But the other one that's being talked about is the bad snap down at the in the red zone where they had a chance to score a touchdown and go up by 4 points as opposed to just tie the game at 20, where the center snapped the ball early. That young rookie center, he snapped the ball early before everyone else was ready to go, and it cost them there, and it made them a field goal instead of going for an opportunity to score a touchdown. Let me tell you this right now. That didn't matter at all because Jaden Daniels was going down the field, and he was going to put it in the end zone if that's what he needed to do because he is a great player. He is a great freaking player. And you watch great quarterbacks and great players in those moments. He wasn't perfect all game, but when the game was on the line, that drive for a rookie quarterback, where I'm sorry, I don't know how you felt watching Jaden Daniels take the ball after that game-tying field goal with Tampa Bay, I knew Washington was winning the football game. I knew Jaden Daniels wouldn't be denied. I knew if they needed a field goal, if they needed a touchdown, it wouldn't have mattered because that young man is a superstar. That's why they won 12 games. That's why they're moving on to the divisional round of the playoffs. And that's why I'm furious as a Giant fan thinking of the lost opportunity to lose games at the end of last year and the opportunity they could have had to get Jaden Daniels and change the franchise. Because make no mistake, as terrible as you think the Giants are right now, as ugly as the situation as it is, and as bad as the roster is, and as inept as Joe Shane is, and as inept as Brian Daboll is, and everything that goes along with being a three-win team 3 years into a regime, I understand. We'd all be feeling a hell of a lot different if Jaden Daniels was the quarterback of the New York Giants, and they would look a hell of a lot different. And I don't know if they'd have 12 wins and be getting ready for a second playoff game this year, but I'll tell you this, they'd be a hell of a lot better because that's what changed the Commanders' entire franchise. Not the coach, not even Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator, not the roster around him, not adding Austin Eckler or, you know, I mean, that roster last year won 4 football games. 4. We've seen Dan Quinn in the NFL. We've seen him. Yes, he got his team to a Super Bowl. They blew the biggest lead in history, and then they were awful for the rest of the years. We saw him as the defensive coach of the Cowboys. Dan Quinn is a fine head coach, I suppose. He is not a take a team from 4 wins to 12 wins, culture-building kind of coach. You know who does that? The quarterback. And for the New York Giant fan to sit back and watch Bo Nix against Buffalo, who I understand he has the one big play to start the game and then the offense kind of loses his way. They don't score another point. They allow 31 unanswered. But you saw the kid hustle. You saw the kid fight. You see the moxie. You see the ability to run. You see the accuracy on the throws. How many drops in the Broncos game? How many drops? And they're going up against the Buffalo Bills at home. That's a tough spot for a rookie quarterback. But you're watching a quarterback that they absolutely could have had and passed on, which is more of an indictment on Brian Daboll than anything else. The biggest indictment on Brian Daboll and moving forward and whether or not he should be the coach of the New York Giants is without question, in my mind, passing on Bo Nix and allowing him to go to Sean Payton. And if you say, oh, well, I mean, listen, he went to Sean Payton. What do you expect? Well, I'm expecting Brian Daboll to be that. I mean, maybe not Sean Payton's level, but is he not here to be a quarterback whisperer? Is he not here to get the best out of a young quarterback? Did he not get hired because he what he did with Josh Allen? Like, to watch those two quarterbacks and to have the dichotomy as a Giant fan of knowing you won meaningless games with Tommy DeVito against Green Bay, against New England, against Philadelphia at the end of the year, that cost you an opportunity to draft the next superstar in the NFL. And then because, oh, we don't want to reach. Oh, you don't want to draft the wrong quarterback. Oh, what happens if you draft the wrong quarterback? It sets you back 5-6 years. Instead of recognizing what the team was desperately in need of and the opportunity to have a quarterback there in Daniel Jones who was the perfect, considering his contract, considering his injuries, considering how bad he was, the perfect play for 8-9 games, let the young quarterback learn, and then go to him at the beginning of the sort of new rebuild that we're not going to have an opportunity to see now because the owner wants progress immediately. Bo Nix should be a Giant. Jaden Daniels should be a Giant. I mean, it's just frustrating watching it. Because we know, as great as Malik Nabers is, he ain't helping you win. He's great. Record-breaking rookie season. Andrew Thomas, great. Dexter Lawrence, great. Defensive tackle, great. Left tackle, great. Young superstar wide receiver, all great. Had Saquon Barkley. You've seen him. Look at him. Best running back in the league, 2,000 yards. Selfless leader. I heard he got A.J. Brown the book at the library. I mean, he does everything for that team. What do you do for the Giants? A whole bunch of losing. You need the quarterback. And so I'm still here where if the New York Giants have an opportunity to get one of a quarterback they believe in, take the quarterback. And if you have to trade up to get him, if you believe in him, well, to me, if the owner is going to allow these two to stay in place and make decisions, you can't hamper them with the idea of, well, you know, you could do everything but not affect next year because I'm going to fire you midseason. Well, why are we keeping you? The Giants do nothing right. And let's get to the Jets real quick, because the other thing about this weekend is that these teams aren't any good. Whether it's because of the new format and the extra playoff team, whatever. Like, yes, next year, the New York Jets most likely will not be able to compete, no matter what they do, with the Baltimore Ravens, with the Buffalo Bills, with the Kansas City Chiefs. They won't be one of the more upper echelon teams in the NFL. But I'm sorry. With this roster, if you can bring back Aaron Rodgers and give him a competent head coach, tell me again why they can't compete with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tell me again why they can't compete with the Denver Broncos. Tell me again why they can't compete with the Los Angeles Chargers or the Houston Texans. Get a competent coach in here. Bring back Aaron Rodgers. Bring back Devontae Adams. Have this young, talented roster that I still believe in. You got Breece Hall. You got Garrett Wilson. There are options offensively. Just bring in a damn coach. And that's why, as you're hearing, you know, Rex Ryan is now out in the search. Obviously, you got used by Vrabel, and he's gone on to greener pastures in New England. And there are some rumblings that they went back and made a last-ditch effort to see if they could bring Vrabel to the Jets because some of the other coaches they've, you know, interviewed here haven't really piqued their interest. Well, I'm going to continue to say what I said last week and bring up a coach that has not been on the vast radar of the New York Jets. Bring in a stabilizing force, someone who's won, someone who's had success both at the collegiate level and the NFL level, someone who has run a franchise for over a decade and had sustained winning, won a Super Bowl. If you are not in love with one of these younger coaches. If you don't think that Flores is the next guy, if you don't think Glenn is the next guy, if you don't like any of these coordinators you've interviewed and you expect them to transition and be the leader of your franchise for the next 10, 15 years, and you're obviously not going to Rex, and Nagy doesn't make you excited, and these interviews haven't gone the way you thought, and you want to, you know, figure out what to do here. If you go out and get a 73-year-old head coach who has won, who is interviewing for a job with the Chicago Bears, who has won and stabilized a franchise for 12, 13 years, won a Super Bowl, someone who actually, you know, has had coached in big games, understands when and not to call timeouts, that half the coaches in the NFL have no idea what they're doing. Bring in a stabilizing force, go out there and compete in what we clearly saw is a mediocre NFL, and give yourself a chance to rid yourself of this moniker of the worst franchise in professional sports. Regroup, bring back the quarterback, bring back Adams, bring back an opportunity to go win with a real head coach, have him be a caretaker for the franchise for a short term, and then go again and find that young coach who can hopefully usher you into the next era of Jets football. But if it's not there right now, to the point where you're begging Vrabel to turn down a far superior job with history, personal history for him in New England, I don't understand why Pete Carroll is not on the radar of a list that seems to have everyone included. It almost feels like Mike Tenenbaum and the 33 group is trying to interview everybody they possibly can, so the next time they get asked to do this, they'll be able to say, well, I've already talked to that guy, and I've talked to that guy. Like, it's just like everybody. But yet Pete Carroll isn't there. I've been saying it for a week. It makes the most sense to me because I look around the NFL, and I saw a Chargers team with a quarterback I don't trust. I saw a Houston Texans team that, yeah, had smothering defense in that second half, played extremely well. Stroud is a young, talented quarterback. But the Jets can compete with that team. The Jets can compete with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Jets can be a playoff team next year. And for a lot of teams, you look at, well, how do I make them a Super Bowl contender? How do I start to build the process to make them a championship caliber team? And some teams have the benefit of that. I don't know if the Jets do. I don't know if another year of losing, I don't know if another rebuild and figuring out the lessening the quarterback position by moving on from Aaron Rodgers in one shape or form or another, or drafting a young quarterback, or bringing in a veteran on the cheap, or like whatever they're planning on doing, because you're not going to go spend money and get rid of Aaron Rodgers. That doesn't make any sense. He's a dead cap hit of over $40 million. Bring the gang back, get a stabilizing coach in the short term, figure out a way to remove yourself from this debacle that has been the last 15 years. Get away from the stories about how your owner lets his children run the franchise and makes decisions based on video games. Get away from it all. Get a palate cleanser, someone who knows how to run a franchise, because I'm telling you, I've watched quarterback play this weekend. I watched coaching this weekend. And this roster with Aaron Rodgers and Pete Carroll is as good as more than half the teams I watch play playoff, quote-unquote, playoff football this weekend. I don't know about you. I saw one good game. I don't know about you, but I saw the Buffalo Bills be able to walk through a game against Denver. I saw the Baltimore Ravens have their way with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I saw the lousy Green Bay Packers who were dealing with injuries, but I saw the lousy Green Bay Packer team with a coach everybody loves, and yet still haven't gotten back to where Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the New York Jets, got them 4 years ago. Hell, I watched Philadelphia barely be able to throw the ball. I watched a lot of crappy football. The Giants are a ways away. The Giants, I'm lamenting decisions that weren't made and looking forward to getting a quarterback in here. But the Jets, The Jets are in a different spot. The Giants, we talked about it. I just heard Lori talking about it. The schedule is tough. You're probably going to have a young quarterback on some or a veteran quarterback that isn't a proven winner. Like, it's going to be tough to win games next year. That does not have to be the case for the New York Jets. A year from now, we could very easily be talking about the Jets playing in Wild Card Weekend. Keep the quarterback, get a coach. And if you don't believe in any, open your horizons and go talk to a winner, a Super Bowl winner, and the perfect guy to transition over the next couple of years into the next era of Jets football. Go get Pete Carroll, bring back Aaron Rodgers. We'll get into a possibility of Tomlin, because if that becomes available, then sure. But we'll talk about how stupid Pittsburgh would have to be, and they're not that stupid. 888-808-1019. We'll talk about what we saw. We'll talk about the Jets head coaching and quarterback situation, the Giants and what they should do as I watch this ugly football all weekend long. We'll get to Pete Alonso as the story broke Friday. I didn't get a chance to talk about it, about his camp going to the Mets with a 3-year deal. I got a lot of thoughts on that. And then I'll give you why I've never been, as much as I know many of you are against it, and hell, I'm not even super gung-ho about it. I just think it was the best option. But now I have never been more positive or more on board or more in the corner or more defending or more pumped up about Joe Shane being the GM of the New York Giants, because I've had enough. I've had enough of everybody taking shots.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right. 228, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Coming off a couple of days of lousy football. And there's just no other way to put it. I mean, if you think, just looking at all the... I mean, I guess Houston did play well in the second half. And Stroud had his moments where, you know, he won that game. But they were just, I mean, the Chargers were awful. Pick sixes. Just Herbert, I mean, that's a real... I mean, Herbert now is... obviously getting the moniker of someone who can't play, I mean, in the big games. I mean, he's been a... This year, what's so surprising about this was, though, and why I was on the Chargers for the game, like, I just felt like he's limited his mistakes so much this year. And Harbaugh is such a good head coach, and the Texans really haven't played well. Like, the last couple weeks, the Texans... this whole year with Stroud has not been nearly as good as he was his rookie season. I just felt like the Texans... the last few weeks have really kind of faded, and I thought the better defense would win. I mean, they were the favorites in the game, so, but I mean, I thought that defense would win. I thought they would run the ball just enough with Dobbins, and they would figure out a way to make just enough plays offensively. And then the wheels just, it was going exactly how I thought it was going to go, except they should have punched the ball in the end zone instead of kicking field goals early on. But I mean, the game was going exactly how I thought it was. They were completely befuddling the Texans and Stroud. And then they get a turnover, and right away, that's when the first play that really made me think the game was in jeopardy or the thing was going to spin out of control was the Chargers get the turnover, and then Herbert throws a ridiculous pass across his body, this like high arcing throw to try and get, was it McConkie? I think it was McConkie, but he had like a step on two, he was double covered, but he has a step on one of them, and he throws it across his body to the opposite end of the field, and they turn it over, and he throws a pick, and right there was tough. Now, they ended up stopping them there, and they punted the ball away, but that play, they had a chance to go up and make it a two-score game. And he turns that ball over. And then, of course, at the end of the half, the bad snap, he goes and gets it. And Stroud makes a play to, I think it was Nico Collins over the middle for like 50 yards. From that moment on, it was domination. It was just absolute domination. And the Chargers just had an awful game. And then you get to the Pittsburgh game. I mean, they didn't show up in the first half. And that offense was brutal. And Russell Wilson found his way in the second half. And that offense started moving. They just couldn't stop. they couldn't stop Pittsburgh. I mean, Baltimore, even though they only scored 28 points, it felt like they were, you know, anytime they were in trouble, they came up with the big play. You know, they scored to make it a one-score game, boom. There's Henry running down the field. Like, it was just easy. It was just easy. Buffalo became easy. It was a tighter game. If it wasn't for that fourth down touchdown play and the back of the end zone by former Jet, Johnson. Ty Johnson. The famous Ty Johnson who said, Mike bleepin' White. But that catch was incredible on the fourth and one play, and then that was really the play of the game. From that moment on, Buffalo was in control. Philadelphia and Green Bay was a weird game. They had so many injuries to their wide receivers. Philadelphia's offense, the passing game's non-existent. That's going to be a problem for them. I mean, I understand he's coming off, hasn't played in a few weeks, coming off the little rusty, coming off the concussion. But, I mean, they won that game defensively and just controlling the ball. And as bad as Love played and as bad as that, you know, he started losing his wide receivers one by one. They really didn't have anything to offer in that game. And Philadelphia's defense was stifling. But, I mean, Hurts was awful. And they were terrible on third down. Right, that Philadelphia offense was not good at all. It was just an ugly game. I mean, a lot of these games are ugly, man. Just not fun to watch. And then finally you get to last night where Jaden Daniels, you know, just, and I'm telling you, I don't care. If he needed a touchdown on that final drive, he was getting it. That's the kind of player he is. And that's the kind of player you have if you have an opportunity to draft. And that's why I'm just saying it. I understand. Now, I blame Mara as much as anything. Now, Shane and Dable haven't done a great job. I can't tell you they have. All right? I can't tell you they have. I mean, they've done pretty much what everyone's going to go nuts about the job Quinn has done. Brian Dable pretty much did the same job. He came in. He took over a team. Now, they won 12 games. The Giants only won 9. But they won a road playoff game. And you could argue that as bad as that Vikings team was for a 12-win team, you could argue they're better than the Buccaneers. But year one, reestablish culture, get to the playoffs, win a road playoff game. It's pretty much the same boat Quinn is in and what Brian Dable did. Now, we'll hopefully the next 2 years look the same for Washington as they have for the Giants. But I'm sorry, when you see Jaden Daniels play, right, and you see what now that, as a Giant fan, just the wave of just, oh, my God, for years they were below us or with us. For years, Washington was right there with us. And we could beat them. We could beat them. We could go into Washington and beat them. Even with Daniel Jones, we could beat them. Even when we were in the middle of this dark period that's akin to the 1970s, we were able to beat Washington. And now you watch this guy and this team and know he's going to be the quarterback of the Washington Commanders for the next 15 years because they'd be stupid to let him go. And it's going to be impossible to deal with this guy. You've got one of the well-run and well-put-together teams in the league in Philadelphia who continue to establish themselves and continue to build a line. And you know, Howie Roseman knows how to do it as well as anyone. You got the Cowboys who are just flat-out better and own, even when they're not up to snuff, own the New York Giants. And now you got to deal with the Commanders? So, yeah, I'm sorry. I understand that there's options out there, right? Hunter's an incredible player. We'll get to Penn State and the Orange Bowl with Fleas and have a little fun with him. But obviously, you know, one hell of a defensive player is available in the draft. But if you have an opportunity to get a franchise quarterback, if Brian Dable believes or feels the same way about any quarterback in this draft that he felt about Jaden Daniels, then you have to move up and get him. Now, from 3 to 1 or 2, I don't know if it takes you that many picks from next year. I hope it wouldn't take the first pick of next year. But it changes the entire franchise if you get it right. And it almost feels like it's next year's schedule is so tough. Now you've got Washington emerging as one of the better teams in the NFL, one of the superstars at quarterback. Like, the division seems like in such a tough spot. Like, you know what? Take the chance on the freaking quarterback. What else is going to help you win? All right, so you get a shutdown corner in Hunter. Great. What is that going to do? It's going to guarantee you victory? It's not. That's why I blame John Mara for the way he spoke at the press when he met with the media after announcing that he was keeping Shannon Dable. I thought he handled it terribly. He showed no confidence in his decision making. He showed no confidence in the two men he's continuing to come on, keep running his franchise. It sounded like, again, the main difference in what I wanted to hear and what we did hear is if you're going to hire these guys, it can't be 1 year. It should have sounded more like, hey, I believe in them. And I'm giving them another chance to fix this. Instead, you got, they're all right, and I'm giving them another chance to have a winning season. It should be about giving them another chance to fix it. Otherwise, fire them. What, to give them another chance to win 9 games for you? Who cares? It's about fixing it and doing the rebuild right. You either believe in them to do that or not. You either put the quarterback position and say, hey, it was an impossible situation. Daniel Jones, we had to pay him because of the success of year one, which is part of their success. And then it just fell apart. And he got hurt as well as played poorly. And it's put us in a ridiculous position. But I believe in them. I believe in the decision I made 3 years ago when I hired them. And this rebuild got out of sorts. But I still think they're the two guys who I brought in here to fix this thing and rebuild this thing, and I'm going to give them another chance to do so. Or fire them. Not this, hey, my patience is running thin, they better turn this thing around. That doesn't solve anything, suit anybody, or make it a better situation. Just rough. Rough spot. And it might feel like the Jets are in a rough spot. You get a coach, you bring back Aaron Rodgers. I still believe this team can win 10 games and sneak into the playoffs in a mediocre league with mediocre play this entire weekend. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Alex in New Canaan. What's up, Alex?
Yeah, hi, Chris.
How are you, buddy?
I'm just trying to figure out because I turned you on to listen to you. And, for the last couple of weeks, before Maris spoke,
yes,
you were very pro. We keep the guys. We're going to draft next year. You didn't want to, tank, but you needed to tank, and and you wanted Dable to do the pick. And then for 10 minutes now, you've been complaining how these guys screwed up, how they didn't draft Knicks.
Yep.
So
that's his biggest indictment, is not taking Knicks. Yeah.
They should have been fired.
That's fine. That's fine, but they were. And again,
you didn't want to fire them.
No, I didn't.
You wanted to keep them.
Correct. So I can't. So,
why would you want to keep them?
Wait, what?
If they blew it, they didn't draft Knicks, would you want to give them another chance?
Yeah, because I still believe in his ability to do it. I still believe.
You go on for 10 minutes now and go on.
They won 3 games, bro. They won 3 games, Alex. So don't you think? Of course, there's reasons. Of course, there's reasons why they should have been fired. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that. All right, so
you were a proponent.
I am a proponent still. I still think it was the right thing. Oh, so I can't say they did anything wrong because I think they should be. I can complain and still say I want it. I can complain and still say I want them back.
You don't know what you're talking
about. Yes, I do.
What are you talking about?
Yes, I do. I'm being fair. I'm being fair. I'm saying yes, even though I want them back, I acknowledge they missed on Knicks. So what should I do? Oh, no, so I should lie and just say, hey, I'm fine with them passing on Bo Nix. Oh, I'm fine with this because I want them back. I'm acknowledging the biggest indictment. I said it. I never said it should be, I realized they should fire him, I made a mistake. I'm just saying there's pros and cons. The pro is I still believe in him. I still think if you listen to the players, you watch what he did year one, and the idea that he helped develop Josh Allen, I still want to see him get that young quarterback. I still want to see him get good quarterback play. I don't trust, and I've said it very clearly, I don't trust John Mara to make another decision. I've never said he's perfect. I never said he's great. I never said he's going to turn around in a year. I never said if he gets the quarterback, it's a guaranteed success. All I said was, is I don't trust Brian Daboll to get there. I don't trust John Mara to go out there and make a better decision for the situation the Giants are in. The Giants are in a situation of drafting a young quarterback. I still believe he's a good coach for that. The biggest indictment, they didn't draft Bo Nix, and he looks like a player. They passed on Penix as well. I wish he looked good the last 3 weeks. I would have liked them to draft Penix too. Totally agree. That's the biggest issue I have is they passed on those quarterbacks. Now everybody loves the wide receiver. But that doesn't change the fact if they get the quarterback in the room, I believe he's the coach for it. You say they should have been fired? The way John Mara spoke after he decided to keep them? I disagree. I almost feel better about firing after I heard John Mara talk. Because I thought John Mara understood. And I'm still thinking he will. Because if you do draft a young quarterback or get a quarterback in the room, like say even it's Justin Fields. Say he turns Justin Fields into the best version of Justin Fields. He plays extremely well. They score points. They score 30 points a lot. The defense lets them down or whatever reason. They're playing an impossible schedule. And they win 5-6 games. It's still relatively meaningless at the end of the year. But they've established that Fields can be the quarterback. And the offense works under Brian Daboll. They would be silly to fire him. They would be silly to move on at that point. That's what you're looking for. I don't think anyone expects winning next year. And if John Mara does, then he should have fired them. Then he should have. If there is some sort of win mandate or, you know, to me, it's make the offense look better. And there's reports now that Bowen is most likely coming back as defensive coordinator. Now, I don't love him as defensive coordinator. I hate constantly giving, you know, that would be their... Now, I'm assuming Kafka won't be back. Now, it's Dable's offense, so the changing of the offensive coordinator doesn't bother me so much. But they've changed the defensive coordinator once. They've changed the special teams coordinator. Now they'll probably change the offensive coordinator. Like, that's just a lot of turmoil inside a team. I don't hate Bowen coming back necessarily. He didn't do a good job. I'd probably fire him and see if I can get someone else. But that's a lot of change. But yeah, I don't see. This is where, like, I don't know where we get in the conversation where I can't even be fair and point out the cons of my argument without, you know, I'm not talking out of both sides of my mouth. I'm not being hypocritical. I'm not making no sense. I'm saying I believe that he is a good head coach. I think he did an incredible job year one. I think he was given Daniel Jones and a spot where it was very difficult to succeed. I think he turned Tommy DeVito from a guy who wasn't allowed to throw the football against the Jets and then turned around 2 weeks, 3 weeks later and found a way to beat a playoff team in Green Bay. And I think that he is a guy who's going to develop the young quarterback, and I trust him being able to be that guy more than I trust John Mara going out and finding another guy to be that guy. Especially when I know all the candidates throughout. I don't see it. I don't see it. That doesn't mean I don't have issues with some of the stuff that Brian Daboll's done. I wish he would have drafted Bo Nix. I wish they would have drafted Bo Nix. I wish they would have drafted Michael Penix. And we'd be a year into this. They didn't. And it's an indictment because if he's going to be, I totally agree. If I'm going to call him this quarterback whisperer and I'm going to give him credit for understanding what Jaden Daniels was and how badly he wanted him to trade up for him, I can't turn and then say, well, you know, I know he knows good quarterback play because they had two quarterbacks sitting there that both look like NFL players and franchise quarterbacks. Now limited, certainly Penix, at least Bo Nix, you know, started the entire year and took a team to the playoffs. But I'm just being fair. not allowed to be fair anymore. I understand. That's sports radio now. I get it. I got to just have a strong opinion and never waver off of it. Okay.
If someone makes one mistake, they can't have a job.
Right. That's it. He made a mistake in not drafting Bo Nix, so therefore he must be fired. To go along with three wins, it's a compelling argument you have. I understand. And again, I have never been banging the drum for these two. This is the other thing. Like, I got guys on Twitter. Like, oh, well, he loves Brian Daboll. Don't tell C-Mac that. He loves Brian Daboll. All I'm saying is, how could I tell you he's done a phenomenal job? They won three games this year. He had infighting between his coordinators last year. Like, I'm not trying to tell you Brian Daboll's a great head coach. And if I thought Vrabel would come here or Tomlin would come here, then I would say move on from him. I don't know what better head coach they're going to find. And it just feels like you hired a guy to develop a young quarterback, never allowed him to do it, and now just as this is about to happen, you're going to fire him. It feels like a waste. Feels like a waste. I'd rather see him get that opportunity than allow John Mara to go find somebody else to give it to. That's it. That's the end of my Brian Daboll love. He did a great job year one. Not a good, a great. We can look back on it now and not think of it as kindly because of the last 2 years, and that's fair. But the fact of the matter is, he was great year one. He changed the whole culture around the team. It's since fallen on its face, but year one, he was phenomenal. And I do believe he was an integral part of helping transition Josh Allen from a struggling turnover machine project quarterback into the MVP of the league. He played an important role in it. Not the only role, not even the most prominent role, an important role in it. On the ground floor. I'd like to see if he can do that for a quarterback with the New York Giants. That's all. That's all. And it doesn't excuse him of every mistake he made, because he's made plenty. Including passing on Bo Nix.
Everyone has an opinion. Let's hear yours. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 254. I don't usually do this, but it is part of the argument. It is part of the conversation. So I want to reference a tweet someone sent me because, again, people are confused. They're confused. So Bushwick, Brooklyn, King of Kings, whatever. C-Mac just contradicted himself. He said that Washington getting good is not because of their head coach, that the quarterback does that, not the head coach. Yet he wants to keep this bum Daboll and speaks of him as someone that can have that type of impact. No. What I'm saying is that the head coach alone. I said Dan Quinn, first of all, who's a defensive head coach, and Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator there, who's having the impact on the quarterback. I said hiring Dan Quinn wasn't the reason that they've had this turnaround. It's the quarterback. Of course, the quarterback, the coach, whether it be the head coach or the coordinator, in this case for the Giants, it's the head coach because he's the offensive coach. Of course, he's going to have an impact on how well the quarterback plays, and that's part of his job. But Dan Quinn with, you know, a no-name quarterback with Winston, Quinn with Brissett, Quinn with some of the other quarterbacks that this franchise has run out over the last handful of years, he don't win. The quarterback is what's important. Developing him is important, of course. I'm just saying Dan Quinn coming in was not the reason. It's the quarterback. Now, they've done a good job helping develop the quarterback, but it's about the quarterback play. That's what's changed this franchise, not Dan Quinn and the message he's sending to the locker room. That's what I said. I never said, oh, you get the quarterback in here, it doesn't matter who his coach is. I'm saying just hiring Dan Quinn or just hiring a head coach won't transform you from 4 wins to 12 and playing on divisional playoff weekend. That takes Jaden Daniels. That takes a quarterback. Now, of course, nurturing him and getting the best out of him is part of the coach's job. But, like, you guys are so quick to try and get me.
I think what we're learning is a lot of people in our audience don't understand what a contradiction is.
Yeah, they don't. They don't understand a contradiction. You can't give all the points, even some negative ones, even if you agree with something. I guess once I agree with it, I have to like everything about it.
Well, listen, we all know in order to think Howie Roseman's a good GM, you have to say that taking Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson was the right pick.
Right, exactly right.
Because it has to be 100% or nothing.
100%. But, I mean, yeah, of course. I'm just saying the quarterback is what changes your franchise, not the coach. So you want to get in a coach who can help that quarterback be the quarterback that can transform your franchise. If you're at this stage, now again, you're right. On some level, you're right. It doesn't have to be Brian Daboll. Does not have to be. He's not the only one who could do it. We could argue about whether he's suited for it at all. I think he is. You might not think he is. That's fine. We could debate on that. But I'm not saying that the head coach is meaningless. And I'm not saying that the head coach is that you don't need the head coach without the quarterback. I'm just saying if I'm going to transform my franchise the way Washington did, it's not because of Dan Quinn. It's not because of the hiring of Dan Quinn specifically. It's not Dan Quinn and another crappy quarterback doing this. It's the great quarterback. And of course, the coach, the offensive coordinator, especially in the case of the Washington Commanders with Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn being a defensive coach, clearly the coaching is important. Clearly. Would never say different. But just hiring Dan Quinn doesn't transform your team. You need a coach and you need the quarterback. Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
What's going on, C-Mac? How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Good morning.
Chilling. I just want to get into the whole conversation regarding the mistake by Daboll and Shane not picking Bo Nix.
Yes.
Or Penix or McCarthy. Like, you have to understand, we didn't have the infrastructure or the talent or any sort of, like, a semblance of a team that was going to get us to the playoffs if we drafted a franchise-level quarterback. The thing that made most sense was acquire as much talent as possible and continue the cleaning out of whatever sort of pickle mess we were in before and continue the process to build a better team eventually. So selecting Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, or Penix where we were not trading up would have not gotten us 8, 9, 10 wins. We still would have won 3, 4, 5 games and not move forward, but we would have our quarterback, but
you don't know that. I mean, you don't know what would have happened. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree that they probably wouldn't have made the jump that Washington has, or even been a playoff team. They started them week one with Bo Nix. They wouldn't have done that with the Giants. They would have still allowed Daniel Jones to be the starter for a while. But I'm sorry, that's. When you draft a young quarterback, like, it's not just about wins and losses. If they would have drafted a young quarterback, started with Daniel Jones, gone 8 weeks with Daniel Jones, and been 2-6, right? Like, they were, I think it was 2-6 this year, through eight. Obviously, they only had 2 wins. So, 2-6 through eight. And then you make the transition to Bo Nix. Even if you're continuing to lose because you're a bad team, because now you're having injuries, no Andrew Thomas, no Dexter Lawrence, the defense isn't good, right? Bowen's not having a good job of it, whatever. But if you show a promise with the young quarterback, if Bo Nix started to show you that he's a franchise guy, we'd be feeling a hell of a lot better right now and a hell of a lot different. Yeah, right. Like Fliegelman just told me. I mean, Penix lost 2 games, including to Carolina at the end of the year. Is there optimism around the Atlanta Falcons right now? Or do they say, hey, you lost 2 out of 3? I mean, you know, and with an opportunity to make it to the playoffs, if Tampa Bay had lost, he shows up and loses to Carolina, but he put up a ton of points. And he threw the ball well. Like, if they had drafted the young quarterback last year, gave him half a season, and that half a season looked promising, we'd be in a completely different situation right now. Nobody would be calling for Brian Daboll's job, no matter how many losses they had. And right now, at the third pick, you'd be talking about getting him a shutdown corner and a possibility of, like, another weapon in the passing game, maybe. Now they wouldn't have Malik Nabers, so you'd need to get another passing game. But you know what? Maybe you draft Hunter, you sign T. Higgins as a free agent this year. To get you a number one wide receiver. No. I'm sorry. Drafting the young quarterback would have been the right look, in 2 years we might all feel foolish because Bo Nix is a one time, you know, him this might fail next year. We saw it, right? Who was the best quarterback? A couple years ago, who was the best quarterback of that draft class? It looked like it was going to be Mac Jones, right? If you were just going based on rookie seasons, Mac Jones had the best rookie year. Now he's the backup in Jacksonville. So who knows what Bo Nix is going to be? But right now, I wish they would have taken that. We'd be year one into it. He looks like he's a player. We'd feel a hell of a lot better about losing games. We'd feel a hell of a lot better drafting at the top of the draft. And we'd feel a hell of a lot better about our future. 888-808-1019. Update time, 1 hour down, two more to go. McMonagle here with you. We'll get into a little bit of Pete Alonso. We'll get into a little bit of more of the... If you think I'm defending Shane and Daboll now, wait till we talk in a little bit because I'm getting fed up. Fed up. With the Joe Shane slander, it's just getting tiresome.